This is Charles Collingwood reporting with news and commentary on the CBS Radio Network. A new controversy is about to be introduced into the public arena, already busy debating about energy, taxes, defense, social security, and other weighty matters. The coming argument is about steel, specifically how to protect the American steel industry from lower-priced imports, which have caused the closing of many plants and the laying off of thousands of steel workers. Steel is the cutting edge of a growing movement toward protectionism on behalf of many American industries. The first major bill in the first Congress of the United States was designed to protect our infant industries from foreign competition. Ever since then, there's been a running debate over the advantages of free trade versus protectionism. In our recent history, the theories of free trade have been dominant. But as the United States lost its overwhelming technological lead, as our wages increased, our factories grew older, and as we clamber slowly out of the recession, some industries, including steel, have become increasingly vulnerable to similar products from abroad that are sold here more cheaply than we can produce them. Steel, so vital to the American economy, has become the prime case in point. More than 20% of the steel we use is now imported because it's cheaper. This has resulted in the layoff of some 50,000 workers, declining profits, and a powerful hue and cry from both industry and labor for the government to limit steel imports, especially when it appears that other countries are dumping it off on us below their own cost of production. The administration is coming forward with a complex plan to put a floor price under steel imports, thus helping our domestic industry. This will be controversial, not only because steelmen don't think it goes far enough, but because free traders think it goes too far. The United States has already negotiated quotas for the importation of TV sets from Japan and for shoes and textiles from Taiwan and South Korea, and other industries are demanding similar restrictions on imports of the things they make. Now, other developed countries are also suffering from too many imports and too few exports, and they too face demands for protection of their domestic industries. What those who believe in free trade fear is that there will be a general proliferation of protectionism all over the place, which would throttle world trade, which in turn could set off another global recession or depression as it did in the 30s. They see U.S. action on limiting steel imports as a key decision, which might invite retaliatory action by other countries and result in a global contraction of trade at a very dangerous moment in economic relations. Obviously, the steel industry and the thousands of laid-off steel workers don't see it that way. They point to the crucial importance of steel to our whole economy and the depressing effect the declining steel industry would have on it. They also say that steel is a basic defense resource and argue that increasing reliance on imports could have as unsettling an effect as our increasing reliance on imported oil. Protection for steel is a national necessity, in their view. But others emphasize that the threat of retaliation by other countries is a real one. The U.S., with Ambassador Robert Strauss as its negotiator, is working now with 90 countries in Geneva to liberalize trade in about 1,000 products, most of them agricultural. A tough American stance on protecting steel might not only wreck that trade conference, it could invite discrimination against American farm products. So the stage is set for a major national debate on what to do about steel imports and the administration's plan to control them. This is Charles Collingwood, reporting for CBS News.
CBS News, a dialogue for peace today in Jerusalem. Egypt's Anwar Sadat telling the Israeli parliament the Arab world accepts the reality of Israel. Israel's Menachem Begin replying that all differences are negotiable. I'm David Jackson reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Both men said a permanent peace must be achieved in the Middle East, and here through an interpreter, Sadat reiterated Arab terms.
If we go to Geneva to hold a peace agreement, then this peace agreement shall be based on terminating Israeli occupation of the Arab lands since 1967, the realization of the basic rights of the Palestinian people and the right to self-determination, including the right to set up their own state. Third, the right of all the countries of the world to live in peace within secure and guaranteed borders. set up according to measures to be agreed upon, which would realize international security in addition to the appropriate international guarantees and safeguards.
Israel's Menachem Begin was more general in his response, calling for cooperation between Israel and the Arab states. He declared his country's borders open to Egyptians, and he urged Cairo to reciprocate. And he said, here also through an interpreter, all differences between Israel and her neighbors are negotiable.
If there are problems, unsolved problems among us before the Geneva conference, let's talk them over today or tomorrow. And if you wish to continue it in Cairo, we're ready. Another place, neutral place, we're ready.
Reaction to the developments in Jerusalem in a minute.
Feel free that you free dent.
It won't stick to most dental work.
Free dent gum.
If you're like millions of Americans and you have a problem with gum sticking to your dental work, free dent is for you. Free dent gum won't stick to most dental work. You can really enjoy chewing again. Enjoy the delicious flavor of free dent with a freshness that makes your mouth and breath feel cool and clean. Even people without a sticking problem like the minty taste of free dent. Free Dent from Wrigley's. The gum that won't stick to most dental work.
Feel free to chew Free Dent. It's fresh and delicious to chew. Free Dent gum. Peppermint in the green pack. And spearmint in the pack that's blue. Feel free to chew Free Dent.
It won't stick to most dental work.
Free Dent gum.
Feel free to chew Free Dent.
Feel free to chew.
President Carter today joined in a prayer for peace at the First Baptist Church in Washington. He had praise for both Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin, saying, rarely has the world seen such an opportunity for peace. On the CBS News broadcast Face the Nation today, Undersecretary of State Philip Habib said, the events of this weekend may be a first step down a long road to peace.
The visit can help dispel mutual suspicions and distrust. I think as one can hope that the barriers fall away. People talk to each other. Remember, this is the first time that the leaders have sat down in this way, face to face, or will be sitting down. It's a harbinger of the importance of negotiations between the confrontation states and the Israelis.
Secretary of State Vance today left on a trip to South America, stops in Argentina, Brazil, and Venezuela. At that last stop, one of the major items for discussion expected to be the price of oil. On ABC's Issues and Answers today, the Shah of Iran said he thinks Saudi Arabia will join his country in urging OPEC to hold the line on oil prices when that group meets later this year. In Washington, the Pentagon today denied Damascus radio reports that the U.S. Sixth Fleet has been ordered to the Egyptian port of Alexandria. The Pentagon says one of the fleet's task forces is in port elsewhere now. The other is in the central Mediterranean, far from Alexandria. Now this.
I hate to wake you, but do you own the newsstand at the corner of 30th and Kedzie?
Right. What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. When are you going to open?
6 o'clock.
Ooh.
Who's this?
I was hoping to avoid the crowd at your newsstand.
What crowd?
To get this week's really great issue of Time Magazine.
Do you know it's 3 a.m?
Yeah, I love the bright and witty writing in Time Magazine, don't you?
Who is it, Norm?
Some guy wants a magazine.
Not just a magazine, a Time Magazine. Tell me, which one of their departments do you like best? The theater, music, books, or are you an education freak, huh, sir?
6 o'clock I open.
Well, I wanted to get here in plenty of time for my time.
Tell him 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock I open.
You really should get here early. The crowd's starting to form already.
What crowd?
Pardon me, sir. You here waiting for this week's issue of Time Magazine?
No, I'm waiting for a bus.
He's here waiting for this issue. You better get down here.
6 o'clock I open.
6 o'clock he opens.
I'm telling him 6 o'clock.
Tell him again.
Well, I'm telling him.
Time Magazine, the most colorful coverage of the week. Pick up a copy.
The government-sponsored National Women's Conference continues today in Houston. Last night, the delegates approved, by a 5-1 margin, a resolution calling for the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. The ERA measure is a keystone of the blueprint for women's rights legislation that the conference is planning to send to President Carter and the Congress. This is David Jackson, CBS News.
CBS News. The peace mission of Egyptian President Anwar Sadat moved today to its peak moment in the Israeli parliament.
This is Steve Young reporting on the CBS Radio Network. For nearly 2 hours, Israel and the world watched as two world leaders spoke of ending hostilities. From Jerusalem, Bruno Wassertile reports.
A flourish of trumpets signal the end of what was certainly the most dramatic session in the history of the Israeli parliament. The main speaker was President Sadat of Egypt, who, in an hour-long address, said Israel could have peace and be a welcome member of the Middle East community if it withdraws from all territories it captured in the 1967 war and recognizes the right of the Palestinians to establish their own state. Sadat ended his speech to a round of loud applause. Prime Minister Begin spoke next and was careful to avoid confrontation with the Egyptian president, making no mention of either the Palestinian question or territorial solutions, but stressed the ancient bond linking the Jewish people to the land of Israel and the Holocaust that befell the Jews when the state of Israel did not exist. Sadat and Begin agreed that face-to-face negotiations would be the best way to settle their differences. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Jerusalem.
We'll have American reaction in a minute.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, note this toll-free number, 800-821-7700. You're invited to telephone Vantage Press, a leading New York subsidy publisher, for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. Just call this toll-free number, 800-821-7700. This brochure explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. The number is 800-821-7700. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, dial 800, then 821-7700. The phone call is free. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Dial 800, then 821-7700.
Senator James Aberesk, Democrat from South Dakota and the only member of Congress of Arab descent, was of a mixed mind today concerning whether today's speeches by Israeli Prime Minister Begin and Egyptian President Sadat broke new ground.
I think what is new and startling is that Mr. Sadat would go to the Knesset to deliver this speech. I thought it was kind of a bold move. But the statements by the men indicated that there's nothing new.
A member of the House International Relations Committee, Republican Representative Benjamin Gilman of New York, said the cause of peace has been advanced.
I think most significant was Sadat's emphasis on the recognition of Israel, the need to bring about a peace in this region, and Begin's statement that everything is negotiable.
President Carter followed developments in Washington, as Robert Pierpoint reports.
The president and his family watched those three speeches to the Israeli parliament from their private quarters in the executive mansion here. Mr. Carter later describing the events as, quote, a moving occasion and a contribution to the cause of peace. He added that the speeches were characterized by candor and a spirit of conciliation. In that spirit, President Carter declared, we hope and believe it is possible to move toward lasting peace. Earlier today, Mr. and Mrs. Carter had attended a special prayer service in the First Baptist Church, where the president, eyes tightly closed, asked that God grant the people of Libya, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, and Israel delivery from the sufferings and ravages of war so that they might live in peace. Afterward, the president told reporters that he thinks the Syrian government is in the most difficult position of the nations in the Middle East, between the moderates and the radicals. But Mr. Carter predicted that Syria does not want to be left out, indicating what has happened in Israel today might help break down the barriers to peace of Syria and other more radical Arab states. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
We'll take a look at other news after this.
As an adult, you should know many adult headaches start with muscle tension. Fatigue, noise, smoke can cause muscles to tense up, pressing on sensitive nerves until you've got muscle tension headache. Doctors recommend one pain reliever most for muscle tension headache, the one you get in the unique Anacin formula. Anacin gives you more of that pain reliever, more than any other leading pain tablet. Anacin relieves muscle tension headache fast, and millions take Anacin with no stomach upset. Adult strength Anacin. Use only as directed.
Hi, I'm Lee Jordan on the CBS Radio Network with In the Spotlight, Saturdays on most of these stations. Right now, I'll turn the spotlight on KXLY Spokane, celebrating a very special day today, its 55th anniversary. That's quite a milestone in broadcasting, serving the good people of Spokane for 55 years. So, to General Manager Wayne McNulty and the entire staff of KXLY, best wishes from all of us at the CBS Radio Network.
The Shah of Iran, who said last week his country won't seek an increase in the world price of oil next year, predicted today on ABC's Issues and Answers that neither will Saudi Arabia. The people of Greece today are voting in the second general election since the restoration of democracy in 1974. 126 people are now confirmed dead in the crash of a Portuguese jetliner that overshot a foggy runway in the Madeira Islands. The FBI says it smashed bomb plots against a judge and a California state senator. This is Steve Young, CBS News.